Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. With your host, your Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Blessings. You are listening to Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life, self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing holistic health, how to heal the mind, body, and spirit with our special guest, Dr. Yuma. Before we get into that, I'd like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. As also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always come back here to Poetic Energy Network Station on Blog Talk Radio and, you know, listen back in and go through the archives and pick a show that you missed. All right. So pretty much how we do this show is I'm going to give you the affirmation that we do weekly, which is going to be a healing affirmation as well as this monthly yoga pose. So I hope you all have been doing your yoga because I definitely have. So this month's yoga position is extended side angle pose, pretty much where one leg is straight, extended, and the other leg is square with the ground, and you bend down with one arm and hold one arm slightly above your head. The benefits of this position that it tones abdominal organs, stimulates digestion, gets rid of acidity, gastritis, tones the pelvic organs, correcting a sedentary lifestyle or a faulty posture, and helps relieve menstrual symptoms. So that's very helpful for the ladies out there. I thought it was appropriate that we do a healing affirmation before we bring Dr. Yuma on and just really, you know, let that become the vibration of what we're trying to do. Okay. I call upon healing from the inner depths of our being to permeate and negate the waters of this illusion. I call upon the power of love to be the spark of this healing and let it emanate from the depths of our consciousness to reach the heights of this reality. Let it become our mentality. Let it become our reality. Let it become healing. All right. You can catch that on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. Okay. So I'm going to bring on Dr. Yuma. See that he has his hand raised? Hold on. Hello, you're on Conversations with the Queen. Is this Dr. Yuma?
Yes, peace. How's everything?
It's great. It's wonderful. How are you?
Doing wonderful myself. Can't complain, you know? Glad to be on the show.
I'm glad to have you. You know, I've been highly anticipating this show, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners have been as well.
Now, that's a wonderful thing. I appreciate the invite, and looking forward to sharing some good things and hopefully getting some listener participation so they can share some good things as well.
Hopefully, yes. All right. So would you like to start off the show with dealing with the principles of holistic wellness, or would you like to introduce yourself? What would you like to do?
Well, sure. I'll start out by introducing myself, a little bit about my background. My name is Yuma Bellamy. I go by Dr. U, and I am certified as a holistic wellness consultant or a holistic health consultant. And I've been involved in holistic wellness in, as far as a business, I would say, since about 1999, and studying under a few master naturopaths and master herbalists and, you know, other people who are really what I would consider top-notch at the craft of healing and promoting wellness and wellness information to our people. And so out of that, I felt the calling for it and felt the responsibility to bring it forth to all who I may come across as well, who are open and receptive to it. And what holistic wellness is wellness, a wellness approach that encompasses dealing with the spirit, dealing with the mind, dealing with the body, and dealing with the environment. And how that differs from the standard medical or health approach is that a lot of times it's just the body that's being focused on. And it's not a whole, you know, because all of those elements encompass who we are as individuals, as people, as a collective even. And, you know, or the environmental aspect of it, our relationship with the universe and with the planet Earth that we're on. So those are all very important aspects that play a crucial role in our health and our development, you know, and who we are, you know, how we're going to feel, how we're going to react to things, et cetera. So that's the basics of it, of holistic wellness and what it's about. And I've been, my wife and I, Dr. Sade, we started U360 back in 2007, and that's the name of our company, U360 Holistic Health and Wellness. And since then, we've done a lot of work out in the community with helping to get information out that's going to help people to better their lives, better their health conditions. We've done community service work as far as actually helping people with our services, with our products, et cetera. And, you know, in conjunction with other healers and other people who are trying to get anything that's going to be positive to the communities at large. So that's, you know, that's my introduction there. I don't want to go too extensive with it.
No, you know, we have a lot of time, so you can definitely be as extensive as you would like to be. So also, I had a question. I forgot it. But, yeah, what was my question? Well, oh, well, it'll come back to me. So would you like to go in on the principles of holistic wealth?
Well, everything starts with the spirit. And that's one of the most important things. What the spirit is, in my own words, is the force inside of all of us. You know, the energy or the force inside of all of us that is a certain type of a consciousness. It directs us. It directs us in who we are and what we want to do. And then you have the mind, the mental aspect, you know, which is, in my own words, the gateway. You know, it's the gateway between the spirit and the body. And it kind of interprets, you know, a lot of people associate. Associate the mind with the brain. And the mind and the brain are not exactly the same thing. The mind is a consciousness that is linked with the brain, but it's not the brain itself. The brain itself is the physical aspect, and that's the conveyor into the body and the physical aspect of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then you have the environment around you, which is all energy. Everything around us is energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the way that our physical or whole being interact with that energy, and the way that that energy interacts with us is what determines the outcome of what's going to be, if that makes any sense.
It definitely does. And I feel like the important emphasis is the correlation between spirit and the physical, because people tend to divide the two, and they tend to divide everything within this society. It
yeah.
seems like everything is always studied as separate entities, and everything is actually connected and interconnected. Even when I think that training starts within the school system, you know, when we go to school,
absolutely.
We're taught that English is separate from mathematics, is separate from science, is separate from all these different types of things, and they're actually all components of the same one study. So it's definitely important to examine those things when you think about what really holistic health is versus the what they call Western medicine, because if you look at the systems through which they educate Western doctors, it's a very segregated, separated way of looking at the body.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
Very. And the thing that I always tell people in relation to that is that, you know, in that approach, it would be cool if our bodies were, you know, composed of a bunch of separate entities that worked and functioned separately, but it doesn't work that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have a pain in your arm, you know, that pain is not just limited to your arm, or the problem, rather, is not just limited to your arm.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a problem that's going on with your kidneys. There can be a problem that's going on with your muscles, you know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that one particular area. And where the allopathic medical system or the standard medical system here in the United States
mm-hmm.
kind of fails at, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
is they just look at things at, you know, from that one solo, single perspective piece. And when they do that, they miss the bigger picture of what's going on, and that's one reason why they are able to maybe help some symptoms, but they never really get rid of a disease, or they never really get rid of a issue that's going on with the body.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Very, very true. And, I mean, that's why it's so important as an individual who may be concerned about your health, or you want to be a healthy, vibrant person, that you take certain aspects of your health into your own hands. You know, there's nothing wrong with seeking somebody who has a professional opinion on the matter, but you have to implement these things as an everyday. Healthy living is a lifestyle. It's not just a pill you take, or, you know, some liquid you drink and now everything's magically all better. It's a holistic lifestyle. So it's definitely something that needs to be looked at as an everyday implementation. So,
no matter what we do, we have to be consistent with it. You know, if we breathe, we have to breathe consistently. If we eat, we have to eat consistently. If we are on pharmaceutical drugs, we have to take them consistently in order for them to be effective, most of them. You know,
exactly.
So whatever you're doing in life, period, we have to be consistent with it. And I love that you pointed out the fact that we have to take our own personal responsibility. And
mm-hmm.
that's part of what we promote, you know, in holistic wellness, and especially with my work and my business ventures as well, is we promote a lot of personal responsibility, and we
mm-hmm.
give the knowledge so that you can take that personal responsibility and really do something for yourself with it, rather than a lot of the, I don't want to say fictitious, but, you know, a lot of the misleading information that's put out there through the medical and pharmaceutical industries and through the media, you know. And so sometimes it becomes a hassle enough to try to reverse some of that thinking, because we're already conditioned
mm-hmm.
to think a certain way, which is counterproductive to our health and wellness.
Exactly. I mean, it's just amazing that how many people are ignorant of the basic functions of their own body. And it's like, and you can't blame the individual. You have to look at the society from which they come from. You have to look at the ways in which they're educated, the ways in which they're taught, and you have to look at it from that perspective, because it's like, come on, this many people who are very unaware of their own body. A lot of women especially, I always say this to women, we have to know our own bodies. There's so many women who, if you put a model of the woman's reproductive system in front of them, they couldn't name each part or tell you what the function of the parts were, which is more important. And
right.
And you just like, okay, do you know what's going on inside of you or how that affects you or what you're going through every month? And we're taught so much to just cover up these symptoms and just, you know, keep it moving, because life goes at such a high, intense, fast pace that we often neglect and don't have the time to actually pay attention to what our bodies are doing or what we need to do for ourselves in order to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes back to what you said, too, about society as a whole, because that really speaks volumes about the society that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because it starts at home. And it starts, you know, with home life. Home life is directly correlated with culture. You know,
yeah.
What type of culture we're involved in. And we're in a culture where everything is kind of taboo to talk about. You know, we can't talk about our own reproductive organs. We're made to believe it's nasty, you know, unless you're doing this and that in private. And you know, it's part of your body. It's nasty to touch yourself. It's some of the ideas and concepts that get put into our heads from when we're young, you know, and so we become ashamed to talk about it. We become ashamed to learn about it unless it's in some type of a comedic manner. You know, when it's in a comedic manner, then it's different. It becomes acceptable then, because the unacceptable becomes acceptable with comedy. But when it's in a serious setting and you're really trying to sit down and focus and learn about, you know, who you are, who we are, you know, then it becomes an issue. And a lot of us get turned off to some degree and don't really delve into it. And on my Facebook page, for any of you who may be friends with me on Facebook, I posted up a comment maybe about 2 days ago. And the gist of what I was saying is that, you know, we can't blame people for not knowing things that they don't know, they don't even know. They don't even know what they're missing. And that's the thing, you know, when it comes down to the school system and the education that we receive, I can honestly say about 95% of what I know now, I did not even, in regards to health in particular, and health and wellness and personal awareness, I did not learn in school.
Exactly.
You know, and I can say that not only for myself, I can say that for a lot of others who are in my circle, who I've been around, who I've grew up around, you know, and so it becomes our responsibility. But again, there's a lot of information that we really don't know that we're missing. So how do we know to look for it?
Exactly.
You know, and so that's where shows such as yours, you know, which are outlets for this type of information, becomes crucial. And people such as myself and the many other healers across the country and across the world and the other health professionals, you know, that's where our roles really become crucial in helping to disseminate a lot of this. Because when things are kind of channeled in from the media solely and people are not studying for themselves, they just see whatever's coming through the media, a lot of that information is biased. And it's biased with the intent to profit or to create a profit for the pharmaceutical industry or those who are paying for advertisements or even those who stand to gain from the sale of pharmaceutical drugs, who may even publish studies or fund studies that will favor them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we always have to look at these things with an objective mindset, if I may say.
Exactly. And to add upon what you were talking about with the school system, not only did we not receive the information, a lot of the information that we were given is false.
Oh, yes.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, I remember actually specifically one time sitting in my health class, my health education class, and the health teacher proceeded to tell us that acne had nothing to do with what you ate or what you consumed. And I just looked at her like she had seven heads. Like, what are you talking about? Everything has to do with what you eat. Isn't the saying you are what you eat? So, you know, there's just a lot of contradictory notions, and it's confusing. And if you are actually a student who does take it upon yourself to actually examine information, you'll be baffled at how confusing the information that they do give is, because a lot of times it's conflicting. So,
yeah, and that's one of the major issues, if I may comment on that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the major issues that turns people off to wanting to make or learn about making better decisions for themselves. And as I've been involved in this as a profession over the past few years, that's one of the major things I come across is people have a sense of hopelessness because of the amount of contradictory information that gets put out. It's like 1 minute this is good for you, the next minute it's bad for you. 1 minute this is bad for you, the next minute it's good for you. And so, again, that goes back to a lot of what's being put out there. And who's paying to have this type of information put out there? Because I remember at one point, you know, it was said that milk was healthy and, you know, good for the bones. The whole got milk campaign. And now when you look at it, you know, when you look at it from a more objective perspective where the milk companies are not funding the studies and the research done, you find out all these host of illnesses that milk is and dairy products in general are linked to, such as asthma and allergies and cancers and fibroid tumors, etc. You know, you name it, it probably has some type of link with milk and dairy products. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, is the information that I was given before accurate? You know, and time does tell, you know. Meanwhile, there's traditional remedies that have been used since ancient times that these same people are doing studies on to try to discredit what has been working for thousands of years in some cases. You know, so it becomes crucial to look at things from an objective perspective in dealing with holistic wellness. And the information, health in general, and the information that we come across, because some of it can be very misleading, some of it is very false. And just as you said, your teacher gave you the information that your diet has nothing to do with acne. I've read something somewhere that said that how much sugar you eat has nothing to do with people getting diabetes. I mean, how
isn't it a thing around the black community? Like we say, you got the sugar. don't we say that? Like when they say it's referring to diabetes, we say somebody has the sugar.
Right.
So,
and then they're going to try to tell you that the amount of sugar you eat has nothing to do with people developing diabetes. You know, so I mean, this you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out where this type of information is coming from. Especially when you look at how much money people spend on sugar, their money is long. So they are able to really, really get into the heads and into the lobbies of the government and some of the health organizations that are putting out some of this information.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you look at it, sugar is one of the main crops that was cultivated here in the Americas to send back to Europe during the slave trade. So it's definitely played an instrumental role in as far as when you look at industrialization in America, in American history. Also, too, I'd like to touch on a book that I would like to bring up that really deals with what we're talking about with the industrialization of the medical field. What Your Doctor Won't Tell You by Jane Heimlich. This book is filled with lots of tons of information and research that goes in and really dissects and gives reasons as to why the and proving how actually the Western medical system is definitely run by, you know, big pharmaceutical companies, and how it's all industrialized to make money in cahoots with the insurance companies and all these different things that are pretty much there to make sure that the people remain dependent on these pharmaceutical drugs. So I'm going to put that book, the title and the author, in the chat room for those listening in the chat. And again, that's What Your Doctor Won't Tell You by Jane Heimlich.
Yeah, excellent book. I've heard, I haven't read it myself, but I know quite a few people who have, and I hear a lot of great things that come from reading that book. And
definitely.
I mean, there's a host of resources out there. A lot of people who are really dissatisfied and disgusted with the current medical system and the way that they manipulate our people, and not really do what they're supposed to do in far as helping us to improve our health overall. And a lot of medical doctors have and are currently turning into more natural ways of healing.
Yes, that's very, very true. I've heard a lot about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it just goes to show, like, and the thing is, when you see a medical doctor doing that, some people may not be aware, a lot of people are aware, but medical doctors, one, they go through some type of a an oath, you know, where they can't or are not supposed to recommend natural or what is considered to be alternative therapies. As far as internal medicine in particular, and they can actually lose their medical license in doing so.
Yep, it's, the term is called medical quackery. It's also mentioned in What Your Doctor Won't Tell You. She goes in and she actually has a whole section that explains how these medical doctors are actually attacked, and when they try to use natural medicine, and they're actually attacked, like shut down, licenses taken away, like drastic measures when these things are found out about. So this is not a game. You know, this is definitely something that's very real and very present. There is an attack on your health. That brings me back to the question that I had forgot temporarily and remember. specifically pertaining to people of color, Black, Latino, you know, our type of, our community, what do you, how do you feel that holistic health and wellness, why do you feel that's an important subject, especially for our people?
Well, especially for our people, because we have, and I want to use the term melanated people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with people who are melanated, melanin, if you're not familiar with melanin, is a substance inside of our body that is used for energy storage and conversion, and is really involved in it's involved in every process in the body. It's found in every organ of the body, in nerve cells, you know, and it communicates information. And with us, we are very in tune, you know, spiritually speaking, mentally speaking, you know, and we are more sensitive to a lot of things than people who are not as melanin dominant. And so because we are more sensitive in that respect, you know, because we contain more melanin, which is, again, you know, is a converter of energy and information, you know, a storage space, a converter, and, you know, something that helps to produce energy as well. We being more in tune with that, and not to have those needs addressed when they're contributing to our overall health and well-being, is neglect. You know, and we are in a system where the allopathic system is really on a Caucasian melanin recessive standard, and so we don't get accurate measurements and health information and things like that, because the perspective in which they view everything is from their own perspective, and they don't consider the variations, you know, and melanin and in individual needs. You know, everything is just cookie cutter a lot of times, and so it really becomes important for us to tap into those other realms of our well-being and of our being, period.
Exactly. And it's also very important to understand that historically, a reason why our people, melanated people, have such an issue dealing with alternative medicine, a lot of us are reluctant to deal with it. I don't want to deal with that mess. I don't want to take all that healthy stuff. You know, we've heard it. You know, you hear it, especially when you are that person who's starting to deal with that and starting to come into your own enlightenment as far as these types of practices. A historical perspective on that is because back in our indigenous societies, we dealt with a holistic aspect and approach. These things are not new. They're ancient, like you said. So especially here in the Americas, we had hoodoo and root workers, especially down in the South, and the roots women and all those. So they would come, and men, they would come and they would actually have the concoctions that would deal with the herbal tinctures and teas and remedies and all these different types of things, but they were looked at as witch doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So with the colonial mind and with the colonial mindset that was brought in through Christianity and colonization and slavery, what happened is we began to, you know, disassociate these venues of healing with right or civilized thinking. So we began to dismiss it as, old witch doctors and voodoo workers, and they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're talking about. And so that, I think, sits in the root and the subconscious mind of a lot of melanated people as pertaining to why they're so reluctant to deal with alternative health and holistic health in general.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at this, because regardless of how they've tried to beat down, and when I say they, I am speaking about the people who have an interest in seeing natural medicine and what is referred to as alternative therapies and et cetera, you know, beat down for their own financial gain. And when it comes to that, you know, we have to always keep that in perspective too, and remember that, you know, this was done for a purpose. This was done systematically. And when these things, because Caucasians have a history of herbal medicine and magic work and all of that stuff in their history too.
If you actually research with us, you can deal with that a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the history of Europe, and a lot of the herbal practitioners here in the United States are Caucasian now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people who are coming out with this information is Caucasian. So it doesn't really become a race thing so much as it becomes a focus of manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in our own traditional cultures, a lot of it persisted, but again, the manipulative aspect of it through the media primarily, through the media, because that's where a lot of messages really get set into our subconscious minds and brains, is through the media, because we're constantly getting these messages that we may not consciously be aware of, but they throw out these images that they know that our minds will respond to, that it will pick up and it will interpret to, you know, our spirit and, hey, something's wrong with this here. Something's wrong with this picture. And when our spirit interprets that and it's like, you know, something is wrong with this picture, then we become blocked off to that image, you know, and especially it works through repetition. And so that's another thing. That's why we see commercials on TV or hear commercials through the radio multiple times per day. And these companies pay huge money to advertise in that way because, matter of fact, I saw something at one point that I think it was a documentary that was talking about just that. I don't recall which one it was, but they said that if you see an image and hear a message or something like that 9 times in a 30-day span, that it can be set in your mind for life. That is powerful. You
that
know,
is subconscious programming.
And I can still go to attest to that. I can still remember McDonald's jingles and commercials from back when I was maybe about 6 years old, and, you know, the old Buzzy King stuff and, you know, things that haven't been out in years that we haven't seen or listened to in years that just sits. You know, some of the old slogans, you know, BK, have it your way. You know, a thing, you know, they haven't really used that in quite some time, but it's still in my mind. I haven't been BK in years, you know, but it's still there.
And it becomes
so
a part
powerful.
Of culture, too, because
it's
you even hear people going, oh, my bad, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Continue.
No, no, absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right. It's part of the culture. And we bond over things like that. You know, when we watch TV and commercials and movies and, you know, and we see all of these things and they put these catchy songs and jingles on it to make it stand out, or they make things appear a certain way, this becomes something that we begin to talk about amongst ourselves, and it becomes permanently ingrained into our minds and into, hey, you know, this is acceptable now, even though it may be something that's not acceptable.
Exactly. And as far as what we're talking about with the media and the points of view that they give on holistic thought and holistic medicine and all these different alternative medicine and all that, they program you with fear. And that's the key point. They teach you to fear these types of things. You know, and they also teach you to become dependent-minded, because they teach you, oh, you should be scared because you're not capable enough to understand your own body. You need to go to a professional, or you need to have somebody else to tell you what you need to do for yourself, or these types of things. And like I reiterated on a show about a couple, you go back in the archives, about a couple shows ago, probably a good 6 shows ago, I reiterated the point of fear versus love, and how that's the opposite vibration. Actually, fear locks down your spirit. So that could be another aspect, another reason as to why people, you know, definitely, you know, shy away from dealing with alternative health. But I do feel like it's becoming something that's pushing more towards the forefront. I do feel like people are seeing through, you know, the veil, as you would put it, that mainstream media has put over people. When you just look at the TV and you see the list of symptoms that one type of medication has, it's like it's supposed to be for your allergies but can cause you to have a heart attack and a stroke. People are just like, okay.
Right.
You know, there's
right.
not, they're losing faith, I feel like, in this type of healing or this type of medicine, which is not really healing, let's say medicine, Western medicine or allopathic medicine.
Well, what I would have to say to that is that, as the saying goes, time is the best teacher. And the reason why people are losing faith in the system and why the truth is starting to push through more and more is because people's experiences have shown them that this is not working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you have diabetes, you know, and actually I've had a few clients who have had diabetes,
mm-hmm.
and take their medicine and insulin, you know, they were taking insulin shots and metformin and all of these other common medications for diabetes, and their blood sugar wasn't even lowering after a while. It was raising. And so it's like, wow, I'm doing everything they told me to do, and, you know, it's like, what's the problem? Why is this not working? And so, you know, they come to me, and usually when somebody comes to a holistic professional, a lot of times it's out of almost like a desperation.
Yeah, last resort type of thing.
Last resort, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And so it's like, well, I've tried everything else this other system is talking about, and they're not really helping me, so let me give this a shot. You know, if this don't work, then nothing is going to work.
Exactly.
And they surprised themselves with the results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not surprised because that's the reason why I'm in this. You know, it's because I've seen the results over the years.
Exactly.
I've experienced the results, you know, and I was fortunate enough to be placed in an environment when I was learning about everything where I actually saw a lot of this stuff happen firsthand and heard the recounts and testimonials, you know, firsthand. So it doesn't surprise me, and that's the whole reason why I'm continuously inspired to provide this information and these services. But, you know, it's like, wow, I've been on insulin for the past 3 to 5 years. You know, I've been diagnosed with diabetes about 10 years ago, and I went on this guy's regimen for about 1 or 2 months, and I see my blood sugar dropping without me needing this medication as much in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's an eye-opener because it really goes to show you, it's like one of my teachers, Dr. Rasan, said, it's like they play games with your health. And you really start to see the games that they play with your health when you start to make the changes that you need to make in your own life.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I can personally attest to that because I shared with you about a couple of days ago, I was a big girl, you know, back in the G. Like, I was a big girl I lost weight about 2 years ago, started losing weight. And I did it through, you know, a natural means, addressing some of the health issues that were actually causing me to put on weight and causing me to, you know, be a bigger person and, you know what I mean, and not be healthy within myself. And so I definitely started to look at my health from a different perspective. And as I did these things for myself, the weight just melted off of me. And everybody always goes, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? And I'm like, I stopped eating crap. You know, it sounds simple and oversimplified, but, I mean, the basic things are, you know, and the most natural and simple things are the most necessary things. And I think that's another aspect of why people shy away from it, because they feel like the answer has to be complicated. It couldn't possibly just be growing outside in the earth, and I could pick it, and then I could boil it and be better. Like, you know, it couldn't possibly be that. And we're taught to overcomplicate things. No, I actually had made an argument for holistic health a couple years back when I was talking to a woman who was trying to make a case for medications dealing with the mental disorders. And she was just saying, oh, because the way that it works and it's based off a plant and the way that the plant behaves and all these different – and I tried to tell – and I told her this one simple thing. I was like, we're supposed to be organic beings, right? And she was like, yes. I was like, so if we are organic beings, how would inorganic substances remedy organic problems? And she just was like, she was stumped. She couldn't say anything. But it's like, it's simple, basic logic. People really don't, you know, take the time to sometimes just sit down and think it through, but it's really simple. You're natural being, so why would you put unnatural things inside of your body and think it would heal you? It would only hurt you. So,
right.
You know, it's definitely
one. And that's why,
aspect.
You know, we see that the unnatural substances that get put inside of our bodies cause unnatural results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what we call, what many of us refer to as side effects. But what it is unnatural results, unnatural methodologies of healing or treatment, rather, you know, produces unnatural results. And sometimes going through that makes it more difficult for holistic professionals to really work with you, because we have to not only deal with the natural courses of action that are going on, but we got to deal with the unnatural courses of action that are going on.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, for example, people who mess up their liver, you know, they mess up their liver, whether it be through drinking excessively or eating too much sugar or fatty foods or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And after a while, their liver becomes so deteriorated that they are told that they need a liver replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go under the knife, and they have their liver taken out, and they have somebody else's liver put inside of them. Now you have an unnatural type of a procedure that's done.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a response to that unnatural procedure that's done, the body is like, hey, you don't belong here. You know, this is a foreign
mm-hmm.
object inside of the body. And so it sends the immune system to attack it.
Mm-hmm. And the body rejects it.
Yeah, and so now when it sends the immune system to attack it, they know this now. And so they say, okay, well, now we have to give you drugs that's going to suppress your immune system. And so now they give you drugs that suppress your immune system that makes you more susceptible to an infection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have an infection, they say, okay, well, now the immune system is suppressed, the liver's jacked up, and you have an infection. Now we need to give you something that's going to kill the microorganism that's causing the infection. But we can't have your immune system work like it normally would and take care of that infection itself. So we're going to give you antibiotics. And so now they give you antibiotics, which are often prescribed for things that it's not even effective against, just as a side note. But
yeah.
Then they give you antibiotics. So you're on immune suppressants, you catch an infection, you're on antibiotics. So now the antibiotics may or may not be effective against the infection. If it's not infected, if it is effective against the infection, then it can potentially cause a secondary infection.
Hmm.
So, and maybe a different type. So maybe you might have had a bacterial infection before. They give you antibiotics. Your immune system is low. The antibiotics also kills the positive bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
That functions as part of the immune system. So now you have an overgrowth of negative bacteria inside of your body and yeast and things like that. Now you might get a yeast infection. You know, and so it just becomes like a downward spiral of different unnatural processes that are going on within the body because it's being thrown out of balance on a constant basis. You know, and so the one thing about holistic wellness, again, the best thing about it is that, one, it's very simple in its concept. A lot of the information that gets put out there now is really to explain what's going on.
Exactly.
It's not to say, you know, all right, this is what's going on. We already know what's going on, you
mm-hmm.
know, but it's to explain how things are happening.
Yeah.
And I think that confuses a lot of people because, again, you know, it tends to get overcomplicated in the explanation mm-hmm. process. They come up with a lot of terminology that people are not familiar with or cannot relate to. And therefore, you know, it becomes something like, all right, well, we don't know what this is, but it's coming from an official source, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And so it must be valid. And so therefore, I'm looking for this. You know, so they take the focus away from the actual medicines,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is your food, your herbs, your crystals or gemstones, your spirituality, vibrations,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things that you are watching and reading and all of
your
that.
Your thoughts.
And they say, okay, well, this is what it is right here. You know, if it's a plant that you're using for medicine, this is the component inside of this plant. This is the one chemical inside of this plant that's causing this action.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take the focus away from the plant and they put mm-hmm. the focus on a chemical where they can take that chemical and try to synthesize it into a drug where they can put you back into that cycle.
Exactly, that compound, instead of understanding the plant as a living organism as well.
Absolutely.
Very, very true. And when you were talking about all the side effects and the causes and, you know, and the unnatural imbalances that they cause and all these different things, it brought to mind, as you were talking about what's unacceptable in society becomes acceptable through comedy, it brings back to mind a Cat Williams got like set that he did, and he started talking about the pharmaceutical companies and their ads on television, and he was going in on how he's like, you go in because your foot messed up, and then they gave you something for your foot. Now your ankle messed. No, he's like, now something like now your neck messed up, and this gets messed up, and he's like, all you did is go in there because you had a cough, and you know, and it's just like, oh yeah, and it's funny, but because it's true. People, a lot of people, you know, they think it's a simple medication. It's coming out even now that aspirin is not safe. Tylenol is not safe. And people have been taking this daily for years. But what did they always have those commercials, the Bayer commercials, the Bayer aspirin commercials telling you to take one a day to prevent heart attacks and things like that? I mean, these people have been ingesting these unnatural substances thinking that they're harmless to their body and now creating all types of imbalances and things of that nature. Definitely, definitely true. And
with that said, you know, a lot of the pharmaceutical drugs are made from substances from plant materials or herbal materials.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, the side effects that are associated with the drugs are not associated with the herbs.
Yeah.
You know, so like when you talk about even aspirin, which is the main constituent of aspirin comes from white willow bark, which is an herb. Willow is a type of a tree. You know, if you saw Pocahontas, you saw the grandmother willow, you know.
Yeah.
So,
he was always my favorite character.
Right.
Go ahead.
You know, but the willow tree, you know, that's not the digestive upsets and, you know, this and that comes with the aspirin is not associated with the willow bark. It actually treats digestive upset, you know, on the opposite note. So it just goes to show, you know, the balancing aspect of things is very, very important.
Exactly. And nature has that already built into it. When you begin to mess with nature and the way things naturally occur, that's when you start to run into the problems. I'd like to, you mentioned the aspects of holistic health and how the different things affect your health. And you mentioned environment affects your health. Could you please expound upon what you meant by that?
Well, environment, when we hear the word environment, I think a lot of us just think about pollution, you know, and that's a great word to really describe the negative, what can cause the negative aspects to our health as far as environment is concerned, but not necessarily limited to the pollution that we all think about, you know, the pollution from the factories and the smoke and smog going in the air and car exhaust and pollution on the ground and contaminated water. Of course, those all have a effect on our health as well. But also the environment of who you surround yourself with.
Yes.
You know, what do you surround yourself with? Do you surround yourself in an office space all day where you're enclosed and you have artificial light and you have radiation all over the place and you have a microwave here? And are you surrounded by negative people all day who are telling you what you cannot do and telling you basically fussing at you for no reason because they're upset and they're angry? You know, all of that is part of what our environment is. Our family can be part of our environment, and sometimes our family members can be negative and demeaning and degrading and say things that are really not beneficial to our health or are detrimental to our health and total well-being. And so environment is a very important factor that affects us spiritually, number one, you know, because it makes us feel a certain way. Like people in the inner city, as opposed to when you go to more rural and suburban areas, you feel the energy different. Because in the inner city, you have all of these buildings and the trees and plant life is little to none, you know, and you have all of this pollution, you know, litter on the ground. And, you know, if you're over by the projects, you know, you got the urine and the elevators and the staircases and that type of stuff in your living environment every day is very depressing. It's going to bring your energy down. That's not a positive vibration. Nobody really wants to be around that, you know. And as opposed to those who may live in suburban areas where they have a bunch of greens flourishing around them, trees, fresh air, birds flying that look nice. You know, you can see the stars in the sky at night, you know, and it's not being blocked out by a bunch of, you know, artificial cloudiness and things of that nature. You know, those types of people tend to be much happier.
Yes.
They tend to be much happier in life just on the strength of the environment. How much sunlight you get every day, that's part of your environment as well, part of environment and nutrition. So, you know, getting outside. Are you outside? Are you indoors? Are you getting fresh air? Are you not getting fresh air? Are you with artificial air that's coming through the air conditioner all the time? You know, are you constantly in and out of your car and traffic? You know, that becomes part of your environment.
Exactly. Those things definitely do affect our environment, affect your health. Especially what you were talking about in dealing with, you know, how people affect your thoughts and your thought patterns and your emotions. And I posted a link in the chat for anybody who's interested. Basically, just has a list of different diseases and how they had the psychological block, the physical block, and all these different aspects of how it actually causes the imbalance in your body, and it's dealing with the blockages, because that's what happens. Certain energy gets blocked in your spirit, in your mind, and these different things, and it causes an imbalance in within your thought pattern, and then it causes an imbalance within your physicality. I deal with this one affirmation that I listen to a lot. It's called Heal Thyself Affirmation. I just posted the link in the chat. It's through Vimo. It's a 30-minute meditation. And the narrator actually goes in and tells you how your thoughts are actually some of the most important and influential aspects over your health, because your thoughts speak to each individual cell in your body. So, you know, that's definitely a part of the environment. And if you are able to channel and go within yourself and heal your own thought pattern, and how are you speaking to yourself throughout the day, and what are you thinking to yourself throughout the day. So those things definitely do affect your health.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Would you like to speak on any experiences that you've dealt with through holistic health that could actually, you know, help our listeners, your own personal experiences with your own personal health and how you dealing with holistic health has helped you?
Well, one of the first things that comes to mind, and I always share this, so if you are listening to this and you've spoken with me extensively before, you probably heard this story.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as a child, I was always congested, and sometimes, honestly, I wasn't even aware of it because it was, like, normal to me. But one thing that kept me aware of it, or made me just pay attention to it, rather, was that I used to always get complaints when I was in school and it was quiet and, you know, we may be doing a test or doing some classwork, and the teacher and other children around me would hear me breathing very hard. And they would come up to me and they would say, "You, do you have asthma?" And I would say, "No." But after a while of this happening over the years, you know, it's like it's one thing for it to happen like one time, two times, but for this to happen for a number of years consecutively, you know, and It just really put me in a mind state to, like, wow, you know, I wonder what that's about. And so I made a conscious effort to try to correct it. And sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. I was always very prone to a lot of mucus congestion, to colds and allergies, more frequently ear infections, and, you know, things of that nature, always upper respiratory especially. And so, as I became more aware of what I was eating, you know, through my experience and learning under the Dr. Hassan, who was one of my first teachers when it came down to that, is he was talking about the effects of the dairy products. And so it started out like, well, you know, I think everybody starts off in a state where they're kind of comfortable where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they're looking to make some changes, like, well, you know, maybe I'll just cut back on this. I'm not quite ready to give this up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I became more aware, and between the dairy products and the meat, those were the first two things that I really, really learned about as far as the adverse effects that it has on our total well-being. And so I said, all right, well, I'm going to start just cutting back on the amount of meat that I'm eating. I'm going to cut back on the amount of dairy products that I have. I'm going to switch over to, say, soy milk for now,
okay.
You know. And I did that, and consecutively, before I knew it, it just kind of became like a secondary thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And with it becoming a secondary habit, you know, I might have had maybe some meat maybe out of a month's time, maybe in 3-4 meals out of a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it was like, wow, I really don't need this, but I'm still comfortable where I am. I'm young, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. I don't have any major health issues or anything like that. You know, I can still mm-hmm. do this and be fine, you know, as long as I don't do too much of it. But I am aware that I have a history of high blood pressure in my family. I am aware that I have a history of diabetes in my family, you know, and heart issues, all types of stuff, you know, people in wheelchairs got their legs amputated, you know, real severe stuff. So it's like I do want to be conscious of that at the same time. So, bam, you know, a time frame went. I think it was maybe about another month or so where I just kind of left all of that stuff alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and had a burger that I had from my grandfather that brought me back when I was living with him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first burger I had in probably about 3 months,
mm-hmm.
or maybe two, let's say two.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the most terrible stomach ache that I can ever remember.
Yeah.
And that was my wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I haven't had a burger or beef or anything like that since.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow, that's a wake-up call, because my body is rejecting this.
Rejecting it, exactly.
And it's never happened to me before.
Exactly.
And so I took that as a sign to leave it alone. And then as I continued to develop, you know, I said, okay, well, maybe I just need to totally leave the dairy products alone.
Yeah.
And I left the dairy products alone. And then I noticed that I wasn't breathing as hard anymore. I wasn't as congested. You know, I said, wow. I said, well, maybe I need to leave this chicken alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to leave the chicken alone, you know, and then I noticed a change there, you know. And so with every change that I made, I noticed, you know, a difference in the way that I was feeling, you know, the way that I was looking, not that I was looking bad before, but, you know, I did drop some weight that was unnecessary weight that I had on me. You know, I've always been a small guy, but, you know, about 5'6", you know, and I think I weighed about 155 pounds, 150, 155 or so. Right now, I'm probably about 135,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so over the course of, let's see, from 2005 is when the last time I had any of the stuff, like the you know, any type of meat whatsoever, which was fish at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Dairy products was cut out before that. I cut out chicken before that. I slowed down on my sugar intake. So all of this, and I've only lost 15 pounds in about this is now 2012, so you're looking at about a 6.5-year time frame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so some people ask me in relation to changing their lifestyle, it's like, well, I don't want to lose too much weight.
Yeah, yeah.
And how I respond to them is I tell them, well, your body has a way of regulating that.
Mm-hmm.
Your body, and that's something that I've experienced myself. Your body has a way of regulating, you know, what you need based on what you give it.
And it's so a process. It's a
process, you know, because oppositely, I know people who have been, you know, much more in weight and size who dropped maybe like about 15 pounds in a month, you know, or more. So it depends on what your body needs and what you're doing to support that.
Exactly. It's what your body needs. I'd like to remind everybody on the call and in the chat that we have 55 minutes left on air. And we do, and you know, if we do run over, we do have some time recorded, so you'd have to call in after that. But I'd just like to, you know, let everybody know, open the floor to questions or comments, because we are in the last hour of the show. And I'd also like to give everybody the call in number, which is 917-932-8881. We are here with on Conversations with the Queen, talking to Dr. Yuma. And he just got finished explaining his own experiences and his own dealings with health issues and dealing with holistic health himself. So,
yeah.
That's
real quick, I always have to mention this because this I feel is crucial to my development. And one of the first things that I recall in dealing with herbs and herbal medicine and nutrition was my grandmother. My grandmother, my mother, and my father were big influences in that. And whether they realized it or not, they helped to shape me into being receptive to it and being receptive to that information. And it started with something just small when I was maybe about 3-4 years old. And my grandmother would cook vegetables or whatever. She would be like, eat those carrots. Those carrots are good for your eyes. And that was the first thing that I recall hearing about the correlation with food and health. My mother and my grandmother and my cousin slash godmother, who's a dental hygienist and has been for many years, would warn me about eating too much candy and sugar because of how it could affect my teeth. And I was like, oh, wow, I don't want holes in my teeth. I never had a cavity. Coming up, because I was always conscious, even when we would go to the store, not to say I didn't eat candy or didn't eat chips or other things of that nature that are not healthy, but how much of it I ate, I was very watchful of because of that information that was put into my mind. So if I had candy maybe about a couple weeks ago, I don't need candy maybe for another couple weeks, you know, and this was as a child. And you would be surprised at how responsible your children could be if we just give that type of information to them. And I think a lot of times we pass off that as, oh, they're young, you know, this is not really important to them right now. No, that's the right time to inform and to educate them and inspire them to make better decisions for themselves that will show that they care about themselves, that will lead them to a healthier lifestyle in the future. That's the seeds and the foundation, you know. And as I continued to grow, you know, my mother, my father in particular, was very, very into natural remedies. And ironically, he actually passed away from cancer, or with cancer, rather. He didn't pass away from cancer. He passed away from pneumonia, which was a hospital-caught infection. As a result of him having cancer, being in the hospital and going through chemotherapy and radiation. But, you know, ironically, he did develop cancer. But he was a great major influence as well. You know, when I would go over and spend time with him, I didn't live with him growing up. And he would have, you know, different things and say, yeah, you know, I got this from this place or the Asian market down in Chinatown or this and that, and this is the shake I make, and, you know, it helps to keep the muscles strong and this and that, give you energy, and, you know, just little tidbits of that that he might have even thought I took for granted, but I kept that. Yeah. You know, I always stayed with me, and my brother, the same thing, you know, it stayed with us. So even when we were making bad decisions, we were conscious of what was better to do.
Exactly.
And I think that is so, so important. And I saw my grandmother also gave me my first experience in herbs when I had a bee sting. I had a bee sting on my chest, and my grandmother saw me coming in with the bee sting, you know, as I was complaining about it, and she used to smoke.
Yeah, and tobacco.
Yeah, she took that tobacco out the cigarette and wet it and just taped it right to my chest. And I felt the pain from that bee sting go away in probably less than 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know? And I
not to cut you off or cut you short, but we do have two callers with their hand raised.
Oh, yeah.
So I definitely like to, you know, attend to those callers who have questions or comments. So first caller from the 443 area code, you are on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a question. This is Nadja from the land of Cushion, Baltimore. My question how's it going? My question is for breastfeeding mothers. You know, I just had a newborn. What recommendations do you have for breastfeeding and healthy weight gain of the newborn? I don't eat a lot of fats and things like that, and I don't know if I should, but any tips or recommendations?
Yeah, actually, the healthier fats are what you want to be eating right now, fats and grains. Those are two very important things because they're going to provide a lot of nutrients that your newborn is going to need, and it's going to help you also in generating your breast milk. And so seeds as well, you know, any type of seed, which are healthy fats come in seeds also. So your sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds and hemp seeds, which are excellent also, anything like that, especially the raw ones, raw sprouted, you know, utilizing more of those in your fresh greens. Of course, water, keeping your body hydrated is very, very important as well. But that's the primary thing unless you actually have an issue producing breast milk. And sometimes people who are taking prenatal vitamins, a lot of times it's good for them to continue to take that so their body can get that extra nutritional boost if you're not getting it from your foods. But I know up there, Land of Kush, y'all get it in on the foods because y'all got some of the great stuff up there. So I know y'all are well taken care of. But definitely that's the main things that you want to focus on right now.
Okay, so I got to focus on the fats because I haven't really been the nuts and stuff like that. And is avocado okay? And with the hemp, can I do like the hemp milk or just straight hemp seeds?
Well, if you're going to do it, I don't really recommend doing, say, the store-bought one. If you can make it yourself, that would be ideal.
Okay.
Because, you know, the store-bought one is going to have like some added nutrients and stuff like that, but it's the inorganic stuff a lot of times that gets added to that. But when you make it yourself, one, the nutrients are more bioavailable, and two, you can control what's actually going in there. You know, you don't have a lot of the additives and things that can actually congest your body and stuff like that. So I would definitely recommend making it yourself.
Thank you, Dr. Yu.
Anytime, sis. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
Any more questions or comments that you have about the show?
No, I actually just, I'm glad I caught it. I happened to go on Facebook and saw some conversations, and you were already in session when I called in, so just glad to be on.
Well, thank you for calling and making your voice heard. Don't be a stranger to Conversations with the Queen.
Thanks.
All right, peace, sis. All right, we do have another caller with their hand raised. Caller from the 508 area code, you are on Conversations with the Queen. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Lindy and I'm calling from Brockton.
Peace, Lindy.
Peace, how are you?
I'm good, how y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Good. Do you have any questions or comments?
Well, I was listening to the show, and you guys were saying a lot of stuff that I was like, dang, yo. And then he said something about his grandmother put a cigarette on his bee sting. The first time that happened to me, and when you guys were speaking upon it, I was like, wow, I have so many great influences in my life, and they didn't even know. And I'm going to tell them, like, for real, because I was thinking the whole time, I was thinking that before he even said it. And then when he said it, I was like, I got to raise my hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My mother, that's my mother dead on. She was like, get a cigarette. I don't want that stanky thing on me. Get away from me. She's like, no, it's going to get all the stuff out of it. I'm like, fine. And then next day, I'll be like, oh, snap. Let me find out. For real, it's amazing. And my grandmother, she always gave me tea, and she would inform me of all the vegetables and what they would make better for you, like my skin and with the teeth and blueberries with your teeth. It actually, it like turns it blue or something, but after you brush your teeth, it like it makes it white. I don't get it, but yeah, eating blueberries.
Yes, and this is my sister, actually, for anybody who doesn't know. And her mom actually did the same exact thing to me with the bee sting. I remember that very clearly, too. So as soon as you brought it up, I thought about you and your mom and, you know, definitely dealing with that. So do you have any questions concerning any health issues or anything that you're going through personally or somebody that you might know?
Well, let me see. Well, doctor, do you know any probably foods that can help with memory loss or something like that?
Well, you just named one of them. Blueberries are excellent.
Blueberries,
but really, you know, in a spirit of holisticness, I want to say that major fruits and vegetables, a majority of them is going to be helpful for memory loss because they provide antioxidants, which help to protect brain from damage, you know, from free radical damage. And they also contain nutrients such as B vitamins, which help to boost the memory function and boost the brain and nervous system function and transmission in general. Eating more live foods is probably one of the best things that can be done to help to slow memory loss. And so I'm actually,
raw foods, for those who are not familiar with terminology.
Live foods, you know, raw vegetables. Some people probably listening like, raw vegetable? You mean like raw collard greens? Yeah. Yeah, you can eat raw collard greens. You know, you might want to.
You can mix it in with your salad, you know, the spinach,
right.
And nobody will ever know.
Well, kale greens, actually, too. I would do more of those. I don't know, because kind of. College
is kind of
tough.
But I'll tell you what you can do. There's two things that you can do to kind of offset that. One is marinating it. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people, it's really popular among the live food or raw food chefs.
Mm-hmm.
It's marinating it. And so it kind of wilts a little bit and kind of cuts through some of that toughness. And usually what's used to marinate it is olive oil and either lemon juice or lime juice, or you can use apple cider vinegar.
Cider vinegar? Mm-hmm.
Right. It could be maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, but the longer you let it sit, you know, the softer it'll become. Sometimes what we'll do is maybe prepare something like that in the morning, and, you know, by the time dinner time comes, it's already kind of soft, you know, at least to a point where you don't feel like you're chewing rubber.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good technique to utilize. Another thing, if you have a food processor or a blender, is to take the grains that are tougher and throw them in a food processor or blender. And of course, you can add your seasonings and, you know, if you want to add a little bit of olive oil or you know, other things like that to that as well, you can do that also. But that makes it easier because your body has to go through that process anyway. If you're taking it in, you got to chew it up. And what's the chewing process? It's breaking it down into smaller pieces. You know, eventually you want it to become liquid. And fats such as olive oil, you know, help greens to be absorbed in the body.
Mm.
You know, so
good
it's
thing
very...
I make that apple cider vinegar vinaigrette with the olive oil and put it on my salad all the time. So that's what's up.
Yeah, the cider vinegar or the lemon juice helps to break down the fat, so it all goes well together, you know. And at the same time, you're providing a lot of live enzymes, and enzymes are catalysts, you know, things that are going to promote and provoke different reactions in the body that's going to stimulate the body's natural and normal functions. You know, so when you're dealing with something like memory loss, where cells, brain cells are actually dying off or are being damaged, you know, you want to do things that's going to promote the life, you know, the life of the brain and the nerve cells. And so your raw foods really, really come in handy with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for giving out that information, Dr. Yuma. And thank you, Lyndia, for calling in. You're always welcome, you know, to call in for conversations with the queen. You know, add your voice, because I know you will, girl.
Oh, yeah. Always.
All right. Thank you for calling in. We have another caller with their hand raised from the 205 area code. Hi, you are on Conversations with the Queen. Where are you calling from and what is your name?
Yes, this is Stephen Lee. I'm calling from Alabama. Peace, family.
Peace,
Queen.
How's everything?
Everything's good, brother. Everything's good. I have a quick comment and a question for you. Y'all was talking about the collard green, green. I started doing that spirit hit me last year, and I was making some cabbage, some coleslaw, and I just decided to add me some collard greens to my slaw, and man, it turned out. you couldn't taste my daughter and my family. They couldn't taste the collard greens. They thought they were still in cabbage, so they didn't even know that I had added the collard greens. You know,
wow.
But and then I made a toss salad out of it with some baby spinach and some diced okra, raw okra, and celery, and added me some lemon juice and, you know, just a little drizzle over it. It was straight. So I've been doing that since last summer. Yeah, and it definitely has. And I noticed memory. I won't say memory, but like I think became more clear. I could think clear after I got on that particular with the cabbage and the raw collard greens and the baby spinach and the okra, especially the okra. I was using the okra and the okra leaves in my salad. You know?
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, one more quick thing. Look, I was on your site back here a few months ago. And I seen sassafras bush tree.
Yeah, the sassafras, the root bark that we use in herbal medicine.
Yeah, and I believe I got a tree in my backyard. I'm thinking it's a sassafras tree. And not for sure, but I was thinking if I could send you like a sample, like get some bark from the root, and send it to you. Can you give me like reinsurance that this is a sassafras tree?
I should be able to do that. If you send me a sample of, because with sassafras, the tree is very fragrant. Like once you cut into it, the bark, the root bark is fragrant, and the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to smell it. It has almost like almost a lemony, for lack of a better term, a lemony type of a smell to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaves, you might see they look almost like some of them will, they'll be irregular type leaves, like not all of the leaves are the same.
Right.
Yeah, so like one will look almost like a mitten, and then you might see one that looks like a trident, and then you might see one that just looks straight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
right.
Some characteristics there of the sassafras tree.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cause they growing in my backyard, and I had been cutting them down when I cut them, thinking they get bushes. But when I seen the picture on your website, and I'm like, man, wait a minute, this is a
like, yeah, a lot of times we don't even know what we have in our backyard.
Right.
You know,
for real,
powerful.
You know? And what really made me pay attention, I think you was on another show, Miss Blue Show, or whatever. I think, I don't know if you mentioned about how the Native American Indians use this sacrifice for lots of different purposes, you know what I'm saying? And the thing about it, everywhere I stay in here, my home is like, I can look in my instead of my backyard and look at the Moundville Indians Park. They the pyramids. We got like a natural park where the Indians, you know, where they stayed at. So I'm right next to the mound, the pyramids that they built.
Wow, that's a great location.
Yeah, man.
Well, it's an environment.
Powerful energy there. It is. Oh, man, you just, yeah, man, I got some stories, bro. I'm telling you, I mean, lots of energy. I mean, powerful. I mean, it's very spiritual. Very, very, when I first moved down here, I got a welcoming committee that, man, but anyway, it's a whole nother story. I don't want to take up your time. But yeah, I'm going to, do you have an address? I can go to your website and get your mailing address or?
Yeah, what you can do is you can email me through the website.
Okay.
And, you know, say that you you spoke on this show and you would like to get the mailing address for the sample. And
okay,
I'll respond back to you.
Okay, then. That'll work. I definitely. My mom says she's 95% sure this sacrifice because she remember her uncle, you drank sacrifice tea every morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been so long since she's seen a tree, you know, the sassafras tree, because her uncle used to drink, you know, the sassafras tea.
Yeah.
And
the good tea, too. You know, I love sassafras.
Yeah. So I want to know so I can, you know, get on it, you know, whatever I need, you know, to do, you know what I'm saying, to get it processed, you know, right. But, yes, I'll do that, you know, send an email and, you know, and, so I can go ahead and get that information to you.
Yeah, sure, no problem, brother, you know. And definitely
Okay. Thanks
for the support and thanks for calling in and your contribution, you know.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, bro, no doubt. And I'm definitely going to be ordering, I'm definitely going to start ordering lots of things from you, because you got a lot of stuff on your site, man. I'd be like, I don't even know where to start. What should I do first, you know, but definitely I'll be getting with you, so look for my email here soon.
Will do.
Okay, and peace, fam. I don't take up too much of time, and y'all have a beautiful evening.
You do
thank
the same,
you.
Brother.
Thank
peace
you
and blessings to you.
Okay,
shout to Sister Blue on the remix as well. Big shout to Sister Blue.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. She's doing an excellent job.
Yes,
all right, peace.
Yes, I'd like for you to let the callers know what your website is, and I'll post it in the chat for anybody who's curious. You let them know.
Sure. Well, my website is yew360.com, which is u360.com. Again, that's yew, the numbers 360.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go on the website, and we have all types of individual herbs, our custom herbal tea blends that are utilized for specific health issues and concerns. We have other herbal supplements and food supplements, a couple of non-perishable food items, and we also offer some merchandise, health consultations, package deals, and some basic information on some things that we try to keep up on the site as well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful site. Very easy to remember. Just yew360.com. Very easy to remember. I also posted the link inside the chat if you are interested interested in going to it from the chat room. Also posted my health and nutrition blog that I write, naturallynutritiousanddelicious.blogspot.com, where I post a lot of recipes. You know, we love some recipes Dr. Huma gave me a recipe the other day. You know, we like swapping back and forth. I think it's important to reiterate that healthy eating does not have to be disgusting or nasty, as it's traditionally thought of as tasteless and all these things, because it can be very, very, very flavorful, very good. You have to be creative, like the brother was, mixing them collard greens in the coleslaw.
Oh, that's a new thing I'm going to try, too. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right. Actually, I would like to invite a special guest for a temporary appearance on the show, my mama, who has a question. Here you go, Ma. Go ahead, Ma. What's your question?
Hello, Dr. Huma.
Peace.
How are you?
How's everything?
Everything's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for being on my daughter's show. I'm sure everybody enjoyed you. My name is Crystal, and my question to you is, can you give just a few pointers for someone who has depression? Can you improve their health?
For depression?
Mm-hmm.
Well, depression is actually, that's one of those things that is primarily a spiritual, what I would call a spiritual disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the primary thing that really, really needs to be adjusted. So in dealing with that, we have to know first what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the depression, because depression can be caused by situational things, you know, so like let's say if somebody's, you know, daughter passed away or what have you, or moved away, or, you know, that can cause depression. Depression can also be caused by nutritional deficiencies as well, or it can be rather prolonged by nutritional deficiencies and contributed to by nutritional deficiencies. It can also be caused by an imbalance, like a chemical imbalance, as they call it. So depression, what you want to do is target what's the main issue. And if it's a spiritual issue from a situation, then we have to start to work on ways to rectify the situation, if it can be rectified, or coming to grips with the situation and learning how to accept it in a healthy manner, but release the frustration that's being caused by that issue. Because people respond to stresses in different ways. You know, some people get very angry and frustrated and aggressive, and some people just shut down. And so depression is like the shutdown aspect of it. Typically, what I recommend also for people who are going through depression is increasing your grains and your live foods. So I know I've mentioned this before in relation to one of the other earlier questions, but that's very important, because people who are going through depression tend to have almost like a for lack of a better term, a dead feeling about them. They don't want to get up and do things. They don't want to, even if they know it's good for them or it's better for them, you know, it's like a don't care type of thing, you know. So if you're eating foods that are showing that, all right, look, I don't care, you know, I'm going to just sit here and eat this cheeseburger, this ice cream, this, you know, whatever it may be, those foods are contributing to that feeling staying. It's comforting for the moment, but it contributes to that feeling staying, because the energy of the food is devoid, it's dead. You know, so you want more live foods that are going to promote more energy, you know, again, the enzymes and things of that nature, which catalyze the energetic reactions in the body and the nutrients that you're getting from it as well. You know, such as the B vitamins, which are excellent, magnesium, which is another excellent nutrient, and calcium. You know, these are things that the nervous system needs to function better on a whole level. You know, iron, and a lot of times depression can accompany anemia in certain individuals. And so, you know, the iron, which is going to bring more oxygen into the body, things like breathing. Breathing is one of the best things to help to counter depression if you're breathing properly. And so there are a lot of books out on breathing techniques, that will enhance your energy level, that will enhance the amount of oxygen that your body is getting. And that's a key component in helping yourself on a whole level, you know, not just physical, but on a whole level to kind of recover from that depression and at least get to a point where you're willing to get up and do other things that are going to really help you to accelerate your recovery from that process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Very informative. Thank you so much, Dr. Yuma.
All right. Thank
definitely
you,
appreciate you.
Love and peace. Bye-bye.
Peace and blessings.
Thank you, Ari, for being on the show. Had to get her on with her question, you know.
Yeah, that was a good question.
Yes. It was a great question, too. We also have a question from the chat room from Lennis. He asked, how do we feel about baking soda being used to help cancer?
Oh, how do I? Well, to understand that, you got to understand the principle behind it, which is that baking soda is an alkalizing agent to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing that is known, and if you don't know, you know, I'll say it, put it out there, is that our bodies or in our blood can be either acid or acidic, or it can be alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
And most diseases, including cancer, thrive in an acidic environment. So that means when we're eating a lot of foods that are causing our blood to be acidic, then it starts to produce abnormalities within the body because the body is outside of its normal environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so with baking soda, it's looked upon, or it's an alkalizing agent for the blood. And so people use the baking soda sometimes mixed in water. I've heard something, you mix it with maple syrup sometimes, because the sugar goes into the cells. It works as like a carrying agent.
Mm.
And, you know, they use that as a cancer therapy because that helps to alkalize the body, where cancer will not exist inside of an alkaline body. But you can also alkalize your body in other ways. You know, you can drink alkalized water, you know, which doesn't necessarily have to be baking soda, which is not, in my opinion, the best thing for it. But you can use, you know, lime, lemon will alkalize your water, cucumbers will alkalize your water, coconut water is a natural form of alkaline water, eating more fruits and vegetables, you know, and staying away from meat, dairy products, processed foods and sugars. You know, those are the main things that you really, really want to do to alkalize your body and to get away from, you know, a lot of that, the things that your body is not processing and not eliminating properly. You know, you want to support those systems, the digestive system in particular, and the immune system, because those are the two key areas that are going to help your body to recover. You're going to eliminate the waste and the acid that's causing the problem, and then you're going to stimulate your immune system to target the cancer cells that are already there. And so, you know, there's a few other components that go down with that. But that's a basic premise that I would say is important in dealing with cancers. And so, you know, with that, to answer the question more directly, it's not something that I've recommended and would necessarily recommend to a client of mine, but I understand the principle behind it.
Mm-hmm. So basically, to take away from that, it's pretty much the alkalinity is what we want to focus on, getting the pH balance of the body to be more alkaline is what we want to focus on as far as dealing with cancer. So
right.
Thank you for asking the question, Lennis. Anybody else who has a question and, you know, is not able to call in for whatever reason can also ask it in the chat, and I will take the questions from the chat. We have 21 minutes left in the show. And I would just like to go over a couple points that we may have missed. There's a couple of diseases that I would like to hit on the head, you know, common diseases. You know, we've briefly discussed some of them, but I'd like you to just, you know, give a holistic perspective for what causes these diseases and what really is the root issues in these diseases and what some simple things that people could do to help improve the condition when they deal with these diseases. Does that sound good?
Sure,
okay.
That's always fun.
The first one is diabetes.
Oh, diabetes, wow. That's that's probably like my claim to fame there. Yeah, that's one of the things I deal with the most often.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes, from a spiritual level, diabetes is associated with a wanting or craving for love.
Mm,
and
very
true. The thing is, with diabetes, that I find very interesting in learning that is that when I get into the history of the people who are affected with diabetes and you start to look at how they grew up, a lot of them grew up not happy in their homes, not having good relationships with their parents. And I think that's a very crucial starting point, is because that can lead to habits, you know, subconscious habits that will develop a condition like that, you know. And so people tend to gravitate more towards sugar. And as your mother asked about the depression issue, it's almost like a similar principle. Sugar picks up the energy level, and sugar is the basic thing that's needed for our cells to have energy. And so everything that we have breaks down into sugar. When it goes into a lot of the processed and refined sugars that are being put out there, that becomes an issue because we're addicted to those things. You know, it actually causes a type of dependency. And we gravitate towards that whenever we are not feeling good about something. Potato, whether it be chocolate or donuts or cookies or cakes or whatever, and it's also used in a lot of social events, so it's tied psychologically, and that's the mental aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tied psychologically to things that make us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to a birthday party, what's one of the things that you're going to see there? Birthday cake, you probably see some ice cream there, you probably see some sodas, some juice. Things that are very high in sugar.
Cookies, all that stuff.
Right. When you go to a party, another type of party, where you're going to see some sodas, some fruit punch, you probably have some chips there or something else that's going to be
and
sugary.
Sometimes alcohol, too, that's full of sugar.
Yeah, alcohol, exactly. Alcohol, which is fermented sugar, you know, and so the high amounts of sugar, we psychologically tie that to feeling good. You know, and so now when we are coming up in a position where we are seeking love or needing love because that love makes us feel good, we seek something else when we're not getting that. Something has to come in its place to say, all right, well, this is what it was going to substitute for it. Some people turn to street drugs. Some people just turn to sugar. And that sugar becomes an addiction and a habit to a point where you don't even realize what you're doing. And because it's chemically processed and refined, and it's an unnatural substance, which is what it turns to, it becomes something that is very difficult for the body to keep up with breaking down and metabolizing well. And so one of the main glands that is responsible for helping the metabolism of sugar, which is the pancreas, actually shuts down or it slows down to a point where it just can't keep up with the demand that you're putting on it, and that's where diabetes develops.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, dietarily is one of the easiest things that you can do in helping to improve the condition of diabetes is cutting back or eliminating, rather, any type of refined sugars, especially refined sugars. Not to say that you can't have any sweets at all. There's a lot of myths floating around about diabetes as far as, diabetics shouldn't have fruit, diabetics can't have sweeteners, and diabetics can't have potatoes, and, you know, A lot of that is not is fictitious. I know diabetics who eat much worse things than that, you know, and they are not to say they're doing fine, but they're not dangerous. You know what I'm saying? They're not at dangerous levels. So what's a piece of fruit going to do? You know, what is a piece of a baked potato going to do? You know, when you got diabetics who run around drinking sodas, you know what I'm saying? 2 liters at that probably, you know?
Yeah.
So,
And they think just because it's diet, too, a lot of people
right,
think just
because
it's
diet
is okay.
Yeah. And those are really even worse. You know,
yeah.
The things that are sweetened with those artificial sweeteners, at the end of the day, they're still refined.
Mm-hmm.
And they're chemicals that are being put in the body.
And sometimes they're worse than refined sugar.
Thinking it's the sugar. Yeah. And so, you know, again, you want to get away from those types of things. You want to eat more whole foods. Whole plant-based foods in particular, because those are the things that are going to work to heal the pancreas, and also especially your raw live foods again.
Mm-hmm.
And also they're going to provide nutrients that are going to support sugar metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
On a mental level and psychological level, which I kind of tie with this particular thing, I kind of tie that into spirituality, because
mm-hmm.
you have to learn to accept yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to accept yourself for who you are,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to love others without being super needy, you know, when it comes down to that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Once you do that, you know, you'll notice that you'll stop seeking things to substitute for that, or
mm-hmm.
to fill that void that might be present.
Exactly. Very well put. I'd like to share a little piece, which is going to probably reiterate and cover, you know, you've covered it very, very well, but I'd just like to share this little piece from an interesting article that I read. It says the mental block component of diabetes is a signal that you need to learn to let go and let things happen at their own pace. Stop trying to control the course of events. You need to release that and realize, my bad, that is not your purpose to make everyone else happy. Others may not even want what you have for them. So they might not desire it as intensely. Acknowledge all the goodness that flows freely in your life. Become mindful of them each moment and taste each moment at its glory during the day. Don't let yourself be distracted by what you may want tomorrow. Accept that even though these things may have been unable to fulfill a very important desire in the past, you can still enjoy smaller ones in that moment. Yes, so that pretty much just reiterates everything that you were saying, but, you know, learning to let go. And it's very important that we, you know, like you said, to address the full person, the emotions, the spiritual aspects, the mental aspects, and because it all affects the physical. Okay, the next disease that I want to touch briefly on is heart disease.
Heart disease. Well, heart disease, I just want to make a quick notation about heart disease. One, heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. It beats out HIV, AIDS, diabetes, gang violence, car accidents, all of that. Heart disease is the number one killer in the United States, across the board. And heart disease also is a very broad term.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you say black people, you know, you got different groups of black people all across the world. It's
mm-hmm.
a very broad, generalized term. And so it encompasses a lot. You know, and heart disease could be anything that's wrong with the heart.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to make that notation real quick before I got into talking about actual condition of
yeah.
heart disease. And heart disease, when we're dealing with issues of the heart, again, we're dealing with love, the ability to be open,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of people close their hearts.
Yeah.
And metaphysically speaking, that can be due to disappointment. It can be, and it can cause things such as cruelty, you know what I'm saying, which is another thing. People who have heart issues, you know, usually have either an issue with letting go of some type of hurt or disappointment in particular, or being cruel and or kind of using basically just not accepting love as a defense mechanism to protect themselves from being hurt. And so I noticed that a lot, and that's something also that I'm sure is present in some books about the metaphysical aspects of it. But that's a personal observation as well, dealing with a lot of people who have heart issues. On a physical aspect, you know, it's congestion is one of the biggest things. You know, congestion from the foods that we eat, primarily fried foods and meats, you know, anything that's animal-based products and fried foods or foods that are cooked in oils. Because fried foods, to me, kind of just limit stuff to just, you know, all right, this is grease on high heat. But foods that are cooked in oils can have the same effect. Most oils are just not good to cook in. It's not healthy for the body. And it turns into a substance that the body cannot break down. It's very toxic. And where does it go? You know, it starts to collect and build up on the walls of the arteries and the blood vessels, which constricts the circulation and can cause things like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, et cetera, which all play a part in what's known as heart disease. And so, you know, again, if you want to look at it from a metaphysical aspect, it's holding on to things as well. And with that said, there's no no mystery with that being correlation with a lot of the other issues like diabetes. You know, with you just mentioned in that diabetes, part of that is learning to let go. You know, so it's the same thing. It's a lot of collection of emotion that a person is not letting go of. And you know, they are building up this barrier to protect themselves. But they're not being open, and they're destroying themselves in the process.
Very, very good. Do you have any tips of things that...
Oh, yes. One of the best things is really converting into, you know, eating more vegetable, plant-based foods. That's in general, you know, especially your grain foods, and drinking a lot of water. You know, water gets very, in my opinion, understated about its healing effects on the body. But it's such a necessity. And so many of us, one of the primary causes of a lot of the issues that we experience health-wise is due to dehydration. And so with that said, you know, especially in relation to the heart, the water is a necessity to keep the blood flowing through the blood vessels and everything properly. So now, if you have a bunch of, you know, plaque and things of that nature collecting around your heart, which are making the blood vessels and things of that nature narrower, you know, it, of course, that's going to make the blood harder to push through, and the heart's job is to pump the blood through the blood vessels. It's going to be that much harder when you have thicker blood to push through as opposed to your regular thinner consistency.
All right, hold on, brother. I would like to let everybody know that we do have only 6 minutes left in the stream if you would like to listen in, because I'm not going to cut you off. We're going to get through the last couple aspects of this information and really wrap things up for people. So if you are in the chat room right now listening, the stream will end in approximately 6 minutes. So I'd invite you to call in. The call-in number, yet again, is 917-932-8881. And if you have, I don't know, we have 6 minutes left, so do that quickly if you would like to continue listening, or you can come back in the archives and check the rest of the show out. I would recommend coming back anyway because there was a lot of helpful information given and people need to take notes. So with that said, I'm going to get into the next aspect of another disease, And this one is very, very near and dear to my heart because I know a lot of women around me, especially within my family, have dealt with this, uterine fibroids.
Oh, yeah, that uterine fibroids is really a lot of, again, what you find across the board is a lot of it is dealing with the emotional aspect of not letting something go. And so uterine fibroids in particular is a lot of anger and resentment that's held and harbored towards men, usually in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a father figure, it can be a husband, it could be a boyfriend, it could be someone who, you know, is like a boyfriend, but you're just upset because that person doesn't want a relationship with you or doesn't want to have a child with you or, you know, that type of thing. And women who are just not happy in their relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of time they're the ones who are more prone to develop fibroid tumors.
Mm-hmm.
And that also goes along with negative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not really being, what's the word? Basically, like, the whole loving yourself aspect, too. You know, a codependency. That's the word I'm looking for. You know, a codependency on a man for your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a major, major part of it as well. You know, we have to learn to be happy within ourselves and not depend on somebody else to make us happy, because that will never happen if we're not happy within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really up to us, and whoever our partner is or is going to be is going to complement that happiness,
yeah.
not cause you to be happy. And that's one of the misconceptions that's thrown out through the media.
Exactly. That's what I reiterated last week on the show dealing with soulmates and twin flames. I made it very, very clear that do not confuse the want, your spirit's want to be completed by or balanced by a significant other for the need and want to fulfill your inner self. So don't confuse the two. Don't confuse that want and need for self-love for outside validation. Just like you have to be content within yourself, and oftentimes we drag ourselves into bad relationships when we have those negative conceptions and negative perceptions of ourselves. So we need to learn to have that for ourselves and within ourselves, and then we will attract that to ourselves. So that's a very good point. Mm-hmm.
So true, so true. And so physically, it's a lot of waste congestion that accumulates in the womb area, particularly a lot of mucus formation. And so some of the foods that really contribute to a lot of the mucus plaque formation is the dairy products, the excessive amount of sugar, you know, that's another thing, and the meat. You know, if I was to name, and any type of, like, white flour products, breads and things of that nature, biscuits, cornbread, stuff like that, that has white flour, the white pastas and things like that, which are basically like glue. You know, all of that stuff, it doesn't digest well, and at the end of the day, it starts to collect in the womb. And form mucus and, you know, abnormal cell division, which is what causes the tumor. I think when people use the term uterine fibroids, they tend to leave out the word tumor nowadays, which is linked with cancer, you know. So it's almost like a step short of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring it back to that perspective. So when we talk about that, not to scare anybody, but it has to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I checked, I mean, the numbers on the number of women who are coming down with the development.
Hold on real quick, Dr. Guma. I would like to let everybody know that 1 minute left in the streaming live. So like I said, if you guys would like to listen in further as we complete and wrap up the information, definitely do call in. The call-in number is 917-932-8881, and you can listen in through the call-in. So definitely hurry up. Less than a minute on the streaming, so definitely come on over. All right, Dr. Yuma, continue.
Yes, yes. But the number of black women especially who are developing uterine fibroids, last time I checked, is estimated to be over 80%. You know, and so, I mean, that is wild, and the numbers are steadily growing. And a lot of it is due to lifestyle, you know, the factors that I just named and the processed foods, you know, that are really developing a lot of waste that is collecting inside of the womb area. And so as far as changing over, you know, you want to stop eating those foods or at least limit those types of foods, number one. You also want to cleanse. Cleansing is very, very important.
Yeah.
And in cleansing, one thing that you will notice, you can actually, through certain herbs, you can actually break up the fibroids. You can break up the fibroid tumors and start to, your body will remove them in the cleansing process. Sometimes they'll be removed like chunks, you know, and they'll come out of the vaginal cavity looking almost like what I would compared to raw chicken.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
it's a very disgusting, if I may say that. You know, it's not the most pleasant-looking thing, but just imagine if that's inside of you.
Exactly.
You know, and
better
and
out
it's growing.
It.
Yeah, and it can be, you know, I've heard testimonials from women who have had fibroids in them as big as a football.
Oh,
you know, so you can just imagine how bad this issue is. But at the same time, you know, some of those women who've had the fibroids as big as a football also have taken care of it and shrank it to darn near non-existent, you know, just by natural means without the need for going through surgery, which a lot of the doctors and medical professionals will try to scare you into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, it's a matter of cleansing. There's a lot of good herbs that are useful for that. There are a lot of good foods that are useful for that, you know, especially your fruits in this particular instance are very, very good because they contain a lot of water, which is very cleansing. And they also have, you know, very good at supporting the digestive system, some of the easiest foods to digest. And they support the digestive system. So, again, it's going back to giving your body those enzymes and things like that that it's going to need to really catalyze the reactions that it needs as well.
Mm-hmm. So that was some really great information that you shared. I'm really grateful that, you know, you were able to come on the show and definitely share this type of information. Is there anything at all that you would like to cover or, you know, let everybody know about that you feel is highly, highly important or discuss?
Just one of the most important things I feel to discuss in spiritual health is having a purpose. Having a purpose and moving towards your purpose because you have those two aspects. You know, again, the spirit is a directing force. And so you have to identify which purposes, what does your spirit gravitate towards and move towards that. And once we continue to move towards what our purpose is, we feel more fulfilled, that we don't gravitate towards things that are going to try to fill a void, that are not healthy for us, that are not positive for our total being. And I really teach that a lot and promote that a lot in dealing with the children in particular. But that goes for anybody.
Yes.
Mentally, we want to get back into the positive aspects of our traditional cultures. Positive aspects of our traditional cultures and stop falling into the pressure of this culture that is surrounding us. And because I think we can pretty much all agree that this culture that's surrounding us is not positive.
No.
It's not positive and it does not produce positive results.
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, the earth is responding to that. And we are responding to that as a community and as individuals with our own individual health states. And so, therefore, we need to get into things that are going to promote cultures, promote ideals and values and actions, you know, within ourselves and within our communities that are going to be conducive to bettering our health and bettering our social standing.
Yeah.
And part of that may include turning off the TV. It may include turning off the radio, you know, and if you are on the internet, you know, and you're not totally disconnected in that way, just being more aware of what you are doing and with whom you're associating on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, because the internet for me personally has been a great tool in reaching out and networking and meeting so many different people and, of course, coming on programs such as yours, which is an honor for me, you know, but at the same time, we all know the other side of the internet as well.
Exactly.
And so the person who controls that is the one behind the keyboard and the monitor, you know, deciding what websites you're going on and what you're looking into, you know, the things that you're looking into, if it's about self-improvement. Let it be about that. But, you know, if it's not about self-improvement, you have to ask yourself, what is it about and who is it benefiting?
Exactly.
And on the physical aspect, you know, we touched a lot about, touched on the nutritional aspect a lot through foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so just supporting the foods that we know are better for us. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, I have to promote organic stuff as well, which organic meaning that it is not grown with pesticides or chemical fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get wrapped up in the terminology organic, though, because really, you know, it's a play on that, too. Through the media, you know, they'll call something organic or call something conventional. Conventional meaning like the regular. But really, regular food is organic.
Exactly.
You know, so I don't really get so wrapped up in the title. And some of those who pay for the organic status, the food is really not all as cracked up to be. I should say, you know, as Dr. Africa, one of my other teachers, says, he says, do the best you can. And I live by that. And I definitely promote that. You know, if you can't afford to buy the stuff that's labeled organic, you know, there are other things that you can do that's going to help to offset those types of, you know, reactions that may be going on in your body, doing more cleansing on a regular basis, fasting, you know, and washing your vegetables more thoroughly. Using things, you know, apple cider vinegar, again,
that's
is another
what I wash
good thing that you
with.
Use to wash your vegetables with, you know, so... Just using simple tips like that can help to offset or at least balance out some of the negative effects that may be, you know, that we may come across in trying to do what's best for our bodies within our means.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just staying away from a lot of unnecessary processed and chemicalized things, whether it be not only through our foods, but through our environment and through our, you know, what we use even cosmetically and putting in our hair and on our skin, you know, because all of those things get absorbed through the body as well. So,
and go right into the bloodstream.
Absolutely. You know, so being more conscious of that as well is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
We want to promote not just the food aspect of it, but it's a lifestyle.
Exactly. So, with that, would you like to touch on the rhythm thing?
Yes.
With your dummy.
That should have been in the beginning.
It should have been the beginning? You didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I should have brought that up in the beginning, yep. So much good conversation coming across. It's hard to remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
But everything in life has a rhythm,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have to get back into that rhythm, the rhythm of ourselves, the rhythm of life.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is, you know, waking up, going to sleep, you know, eating at certain times or eating when your body is hungry,
mm-hmm.
You know, the way that we speak is a rhythm. The way that we walk is a rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I do, and I'll say, you know, I don't want to say on the side, but as a part of my holistic wellness completion, in my opinion, is drumming. You know, I teach West African drumming through the djembe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that helps in so much. It helps in memory. It helps with, you know, being in tune with your culture, being in tune with your spirit, being in tune with your environment, those around you. Because when you're drumming, we drum as a group,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in order to really fit in for anybody who's, you know, not necessarily been to a drum class, but even a drum circle,
mm-hmm.
there's a sense of oneness that is there. You know, and everybody has to kind of get in where we fit in. And so it's like a sense of community that comes out of that or comes with that, you know, and that's part of a rhythm too. The community has a rhythm, the way we work and the way we work together. So that's very, very crucial. And when you get more in tune with your body and your spirit and your mind and your environment, you can get more in tune with the rhythm of the universe. And that will, you know, that will definitely boost up your life experience in general.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that so much. That was definitely a great thing to touch on. Now, really quickly, you know, just, I don't want to keep you too long, but just can you give like 5 holistic products, herbs, could be a food, could be something for your skin cosmetically. There's 5 holistic products that you cannot live without.
Ooh. Ooh, let me see.
If you need help, I'll help you.
I'll tell you one thing that I really, really have been on lately is my green powders.
Mm.
My green powders. Because even in eating greens,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel I need that extra boost.
Mm-hmm.
So one green powder that I love to incorporate when I can, when I see feel the need to, is spirulina.
Ooh,
and that one, yeah, the spirulina. And right after that would come spirulina, chlorella, and moringa. I put the 3 of those together.
Ooh, you just named my top 3.
Yeah. I put the 3 of those, like, in the same category, and often I mix them together.
Mm.
And just excellent for energy boosting, for helping to detoxify the body, anemia, you know, circulation support, brain support. You name it, it's pretty much good for it. You know, thyroid, anybody going through thyroid issues, low thyroid function, that's excellent, excellent for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would definitely put that up top. So we actually have a product on the site which
mm-hmm.
contains all 3 of them plus some other extra excellent ingredients as well.
Give the name
which
the
is called the U360 IA Earth Powder. IA spelled AIYE,
mm-hmm.
earth in parentheses, and powder. U360 IA earth powder, which is, yeah, excellent, excellent greens powder. It's my own personal blend, which contains those 3, you know, the chlorella, spirulina, moringa.
Mm-hmm.
We also add chia seed to it, which is another great booster. We also add, what's the other one that we add? Hibiscus,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is another great herb, source of vitamin C as well, so it's going to help the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And we add alfalfa, which how can I forget alfalfa, which is another excellent, excellent, highly nutritious herb in
mm-hmm.
food,
mm-hmm.
you know, which goes right up there with the other grains. And so, you know, those are some of the main ingredients. There's maybe about 4 other ingredients in there. Excuse me. 4 other ingredients in there. So it's very, most of our products are very basic,
mm-hmm.
Which is good because the simpler the better. You don't want too much stuff inside of your body that's really confusing and especially for those taking a lot of, you know, taking any, for that matter, pharmaceutical drugs and medications,
mm-hmm.
and you want to do what's called complementary therapy, which is where you're using herbs along with, or certain food herbs and things like that along with the medications that you're taking. You know, it's good to have simpler products, so
exactly.
that way you can kind of reassure that, you know, no adverse reactions or complex reactions between the herbs and the medications and things like that will take place.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
You said that's number one.
That's
you
my grains. I put the grains
that's one.
Category. Yeah, I put the grains all in one category, you know.
Okay.
My second thing is my seeds, my sunflower mm-hmm. seeds in particular. I love sunflower seeds.
Me too.
And not really taste-wise so much, but nutritionally, you know, it's a real boost for my body in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I really love is papaya.
Ooh, I love me some papaya too.
Love papaya. You know, that's another thing there. And again, both taste-wise too, but more so how it makes my body feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very cleansing food, so I love
yeah.
papaya. I don't have that on the website, but it's there. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's there in my list.
Mm-hmm.
Number four would be cayenne pepper.
Ooh.
I keep some cayenne pepper somewhere. Somewhere.
Me too.
Yeah, that's a good, not just a good seasoning and spice. But it's a good medicine just to have around in general.
It'll knock anything out. You're getting a little cold. You're getting a little itch in that throat. Take you some cayenne pepper. Holler that back. I'm telling you, it'll knock whatever, like especially congestion. Boom.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's so many things to do with cayenne pepper. I will probably take me another 15 minutes just to talk about that.
Exactly.
So I'm going to leave it there. And, as far, I have to mention one of my tea blends, and I'm going to mention my favorite tea blend,
mm-hmm.
Which is the U360 Anti-Yeast and Fungal Blend.
Mm.
I love that. Love, love that. It tastes nasty as heck. That's one thing about me, too, is I don't sugarcoat and lie about my process. Yeah, it tastes good. No, it don't taste good. But you will feel the difference, and I haven't had a person yet who's taken that resin felt the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've had people taking that who have had, like, mold growing on their feet.
Oh,
and,
really?
And it helped to reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just very, very proud of that product in particular.
Mm-hmm. That's great for the ladies, too, with the, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Great for that.
Any
mm-hmm.
You know, vaginal issues and things of that nature going on, excellent tea blend to incorporate in. So,
mm-hmm.
But there's so many great products and individual herbs we have on the site. I wish I had got a chance to really touch on it more a little earlier, but what was said was what
mm-hmm.
was needed to be said, so we'll leave it at that.
Exactly. And everybody can always shoot over to the website and check everything out. I mean, and, you know, like you said, I keep it real, too, so the prices are excellent. Like, excellent prices. Like, you know, a lot of people try to take advantage of people by putting labels, oh, this is good for your health, this is organic, this is this, like you said, and overprice the products.
Yeah.
So, brother is very, very reasonably priced. So, you want to go over there and check the brother out. You got any upcoming projects or anything else you would like to promote and let the people know that you're doing?
Well, I'm doing a vegan food preparation workshop, which is going to be this Saturday and next Saturday out in Capitol Heights, Maryland, which is where I'm located, which is just outside of Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
Not too far from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be this Saturday and next Saturday, 4 to 7 p.m., I'm still taking registrations up until about Wednesday. If you would like to get more information on that, you can give me a call. My number is area code 202-413-4000. 4581. I'm not doing any drop-ins on that. It has to be through pre-registration. So please give me a call up until Wednesday for this week, up until next Wednesday for the next week's session.
Okay.
And also I have a couple conference calls coming up. I have one coming up discussing high blood pressure more in depth and heart problems, heart disease. And I also have one coming up that will be discussing mental disorders such as Alzheimer's and dementia, especially affecting our elders. And so more information will be disseminated through the website. You can join our email list if you register for the website. And you can also find me on Facebook. Facebook is facebook.com/ DOCTAYEW. Facebook.com/DrU. And, you know, we definitely give out a lot of good information through my personal page and our group page, U360 Holistic Health and Wellness, as well as Sister Tay's pages, Holistic Thought. Is it? Don't get me to getting the name wrong.
Holistic Health for Holistic Thought.
Holistic Health for Holistic Thought. And, of course, the Conversations with the Queen group. And I think there's another one that you have as well. But I'm on there as well, so you may see me posting there from time to time or my group from time to time. Lots of excellent information that we give out through there. And you can also get in contact with me directly through there. Or again, my phone number, which is area code 202-413-4581. And I'm available between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, we had to struggle a little bit there to get you on, but I'm so glad that you're finally on. I enjoyed this time with you, and my callers enjoyed you, as you see, so definitely you always have an open invitation, so whenever, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that. I'll definitely be listening into your show for future shows as well, and I encourage everybody else to.
Exactly. Every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, our usual show time is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard through 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. Also, you can listen to the many beautiful shows that we have here on Poetic Energy Network Station. They run every night. And there are some beautiful shows. We actually do have a health show that comes on every Tuesday, so if you're more interested in more health topics, health information, definitely check out that show, Here's to Your Health, every Tuesday night here on Poetic Energy Network Station. Thank you, Dr. Yuma, again. And thank you, everybody who listened, called in, chimed in, and had something to say. I'm eternally grateful, and peace and blessings. So,
peace and blessings.
Bid you adieu. All right, we're going to play it out with some Bloodstone Natural High, as I'm sure this show has got you on.
Thank you. you more than the day I die.